Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Isabel Quintero, she's a writer, and Zeke Pena, cartoonist, illustrator, and painter. And together, we're talking about their book, Photographic, The Life of Graciela Iturbide. Zeke and Isabel, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you both.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Before this book, did the two of you work together ever before?
We did. Yes, Zeke did the cover of my first book, Gabby, A Girl in Pieces. And so that's actually how we met. Cinco Puntos connected us, and he did the cover and book design, and it was great. And we just started talking, and which is a weird relationship for author and book designer, but we just became friends. And yeah, when this opportunity came up, I immediately thought of Zeke for the project.
Zeke, what did you think of Isabel the first time you met her?
Yeah, I mean, it was really exciting. So I kind of, when Cinco Puntos Press, based in El Paso, Texas, contacted me about working on the cover, which was the first cover that I did that was published and Isabel's first published work.
Nice.
I was super excited. And I kind of, I had only known about her just through reading a little bit of the text, which I loved right off the bat of reading it. And just kind of liked where the project was going and the idea about the story. So, right off the bat, I think we kind of hit it off. And that process was unique in that, typically an illustrator and an author, especially the illustrator of a book cover, I mean, they'll never really have any conversation.
Nope, they don't. I can tell you because I've illustrated both sides of that. And usually they don't even know each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now I want to, for the benefit of the audience, I'm going to want to later on in a couple of months, I want to interview both of you separately about your other work because both of you have a lot of other stuff that you do. But let's concentrate on this book. How did this project come up?
Yeah, so I got an email in 2016. It was 2016 from Ruth Lane, our editor over at the Getty. And it was just, hey, we have this project. And I talked to some librarians at LA Public Library, in the LA Public Library system, and they recommended I speak to you about writing this project. And
wow.
I was very surprised because I didn't know Ruth and I didn't know the librarians she was talking about. One of the librarians we had exchanged maybe one email, and that was it. So I was very surprised. And so they asked me if I was, they asked me if I wanted to do it. I said yes. They asked me if I had an illustrator I'd be interested in working with. And Zeke and I had already been talking about doing some projects together. And so immediately, when we got off the phone, I called Zeke and I was like, what are you doing for the next year? that's how that worked out.
Zeke, let me talk to you because there have to be challenges when you go to draw this biography. Your work has got a lot of other things going on, your regular work. And what were the first things you thought of that you were going to have to do in order to get this project through as far as art style and art technique?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in saying that there was going to be some challenges. I mean, I was familiar with Graciela Iturbide's work before this project started. I had known her for photographs. And I think right off the bat, it was really that, right? Like we knew that the Getty and Ruth Lane, our editor, it was really important for them to have the actual photographs included in the book.
Right.
So I think that was like the first problem was like figuring out how is this going to work? How are these photographs going to be represented in the book? And so that's kind of just where everything started for me. I started to think, well, I'm not going to be able to go into like a really super cartoonish style because I'd like to include the photographs and the text. How do I make that, you know, a little bit more fluid? So I kind of adopted a little bit more of a realistic style than I tend to like to use. But I think it was necessary. And using her photographs, having that as a resource was something that really just helped that challenge, right? Like the Getty gave us access to a bunch of resources that they have. And I was able to base a lot of the illustrations directly on her photographs. So a good amount of the illustrations and panels in the book are I used her photographs directly. So that's another little kind of like Easter egg in there for readers, is that they can explore Graciela's work and hopefully find some of those other photographs.
Isabel, the story itself, which is a biography, but it doesn't flow in a traditional biographical sense. It has an interesting flow to the writing part of it. Talk to me about that. It's almost like it's her photography telling the story.
Yeah, I did my job. Yay. I think, the Getty, this is my first time writing a graphic novel. Like, I'd never done it before. I'd never really attempted it. You know, I tried some script writing, not even script writing. I didn't even know what script writing was until, I started sending stuff to Zeke, and he was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. We have to figure out a different way to do this. And so I was just looking at her photographs, and one of the things that I wanted to make sure was that this biography was a biography about Graciela Iturbide as an artist. This is an artist biography. This isn't a, this is her favorite color. This is her favorite food. This isn't a incredibly comprehensive biography of her childhood, to where she's at right now. And so I wanted to highlight her art and her work, and what trajectory that has taken. So I in reading up on her, and in my research, one of the things that always stood out with me was that when she was young, she wanted to be a writer. She wanted to be a poet. And that's at the beginning of the graphic novel. And her parents tell her, no, you're a woman. Like, girls don't get to do that. Like, you get to be home and take care of kids. And, but she always reads poetry, and on all her trips that she takes, she's always taking, she has a collection of poetry with her that she reads, different poets, And so that love of poetry has stuck with her. Excuse me. And she also, there was a big section that eventually we didn't put in the book, but, she was really obsessed with the Conference of Birds, which is a long epic poem.
I've actually read it. It's a Sufi epic.
Yes. And so she's, and so I wanted to do some of that in there, but it was with the deadline that we had and everything, like, it was just too much. And so what I wanted to do was then read her photographs as poetry, to look at her work as, the poetry that she didn't write, but she still created. And so that's what I attempted to do with, in telling her story.
It's interesting because both of you, both visually and then the way that the story flows, you really sense that you're going for the soul of the artist. And it's a very difficult thing to talk about and a very difficult thing to express. And especially, Zeke, you chose to do your drawings in black and white. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Because you work in color a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely use color in the majority of my work. And so I think, similar to what Isabel was talking about with regard to, looking at her photographs as poetry, when I was doing research for, working on this project, I made it a point not to look at any biographical stuff. So I didn't read about her life. Research anything about her, and I made it a point to just try to understand her through her photographs. So I would look at certain photographs and figure out, okay, well, what would have been the context that she was, what would be the context for this photograph, right? Like, where was she? What was she doing? But just trying to figure that out from the photograph. And I think that I understand my own work through photography a lot in terms of framing and film. And so I think that, using that, when I started to move on to illustrating the images, I wanted her photographs basically to guide the narrative. So those were, we kind of decided what photographs we wanted to use. And then we tried to build both the text and the visual narrative around those photographs. And so I took my cues from her, so trying to use similar framing that she uses when I wasn't, using one of her images exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the black and white, the choice for the black and white was really just a clear choice because she photographs primarily in black and white. She does have a collection of color photographs, but the vast majority of her work is in black and white. So it seemed like the necessary choice when the photographs were going to also be included in the visual narrative.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Isabel Quintero. She's a writer and an interview. I read some of your interviews. And Zeke Pena, cartoonist, illustrator, painter. Together, they've produced one of the really finest contemporary art biographies, Photographic, The Life of Graciela Iturbide. The amazing thing to me, and especially having two people work on a project like this, is how the end product is completely seamless. In other words, it's as if one person did everything. And that has to do with you must have been in conference back and forth constantly.
Yeah, definitely. Zeke was in El Paso, and I'm in Southern California. And so there was a lot of phone calls and FaceTime that were happening, text messages, emails.
Let's talk about Graciela. She grew up in a traditional family in the 50s. Where women didn't become photographers, and it's amazing reading this part of her story. How did she come about to get to be a photographer? It seems like she was in a typical middle class family, who didn't approve of that stuff.
Yeah, so she actually came from a well-to-do family, and she, she's the youngest of, I believe, 13 or 14 children. And she, not the youngest, sorry, the oldest. And she, pregnancy brain. But she's one of many children.
And her father was a photographer.
Her father was an amateur photographer. And, go ahead.
He gives her a camera, but that doesn't start.
He gives her a camera.
But that doesn't do anything. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But she gets sent off to a convent, the school for nuns, just, trying to, because she's always been very creative and inquisitive, and they're trying, her family's thinking if she's going to go there, she's going to calm down, she's going to, realize what her place is. But really what that place does is open her eyes to more creativity, because she participates in drama, in theater, in all these creative endeavors, and she falls in love with creativity. But she eventually does get married, and she has kids, and she feels restless, and then she goes to film school against her parents' wishes. She goes to film school, and that's where she meets at the UNAM in Mexico City. She meets Manuel Alvarez Bravo, and she becomes his assistant. And no one's really taking photography at that time because it's all about film. It's all about movies, and she falls in love with it. And during that time, her daughter dies from meningitis, and so she just
in the book it says she does not want to speak about that, but it's one of the major reasons she picks up a camera.
She does, yeah. So she starts photographing death, right, as a way to understand, like actually photographing children getting buried, and we don't put a lot of that in the book. There's a lot of photographs she takes of just infants in caskets, right? because she's trying to understand what happened to her child. And she doesn't talk about it often, although it is, she does talk about, you know, my child died, this is what happened. And so I didn't write a whole big section on it because I wanted to respect that she didn't,
right.
It wasn't somebody, you know, it was her grief. And so I wanted to respect that grief. And, but it was important. So that's why that's in there. And that's how she gets started, you know, she gets started. And so she's Manuel Alvarez Bravo's apprentice. And I mean, who else could you ask for as a teacher? And she just becomes, learns from him, is self-taught from that point on.
Zeke, one of the things she says about her work, and a lot of people seeing her photography start talking about how the photographs are surreal or magical, and she says they're not. She's striving for the poetic. As an artist, and especially an artist like you, was that a tough line to walk to make sure that you're not doing something surreal or magical, but striving for the poetic? That seems extremely abstract to me and very tough to put down a pen and ink to paper.
Yeah, I mean that's a tough thing to balance, and there's, you know, I deal with some of that in my personal work. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, kind of pushing reality a little bit. That's something that I like to play with in my work. And I wouldn't refer to my work as being surreal or necessarily magical realism, which are kind of the terms that are typically used. So I could really relate to kind of what she was saying because I,
that's
you
cool.
know, more than any. Yeah, I mean, more than anything, what I see in her photographs is you know, silence. There's a lot of quiet, you know.
Right. Right.
There's also a certain amount of, you know, humor in a way. Like, even though like her photographs are not comical, there's a great photograph that's in there, Nuestra Señora de las Iguanas.
I love that photograph. That's like one of the coolest photographs I love that photograph.
I mean, it's so eye catching. I mean, it's an image that grabs you. And I think one of the, you know, things that Isabel actually dug up in the research was a contact sheet from that photo shoot. So we got to we also see the alternative takes that Graciela shoots. And one of the things that really stood out to me as I was kind of analyzing the photograph and kind of breaking it down was that she selected one of the only images where that woman is not smiling. So you could kind of see throughout
that's
every shoot, right? Like she starts shooting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And in the beginning, you can kind of see Graciela working as a photographer to make this woman loosen up a little bit. So maybe she said a joke or something, or maybe she, you know, they're just laughing about something. And once that woman relaxes and kind of settles in, which is a photographer and a filmmaker's dream, right? Like once that person relaxes, it's typically when you get the most, like the truest image, so to speak, you know, you can really see who someone is when they relax. And that contact sheet like really highlighted something wow. for me that I don't think you'd be able to find in Graciela's photographs otherwise.
And as it comes out in your book, she's always seeking the in-between. And there's a fascinating moment where she travels to, and please forgive my pronunciation, Huichitan in Oaxaca. Talk to me about that place because that sounds like a fascinating place.
Yeah, so
women are in charge.
Yeah, well, and she talks about too the complicated nature of that place, right? And unfortunately, during the earthquakes, Huichitan was one of the places that really suffered in Oaxaca a couple years back. But you know, that was her first major. I mean, she had a commission before that, but it was her first major commission, and it was from you know, by Francisco Toledo. And she's there photographing his place of birth, right? And in this place, she realizes that she doesn't, you know, she's always, how she grew up, there's a very conservative Catholic home. There was only one way to be a woman, and she comes to this place, which is completely different from what she's experienced. The women here, they're the ones who drive the, well, are in charge of the economy. They have to, men have to ask for allowance. They're the only ones, them and mushes are the only ones allowed to sell at the market. The men go to work, they bring back the money to the women disperse, you know, the money. And so she's very surprised by this, because never in her life had she encountered a situation where women behave this way and had a such a strong voice. And she actually called them bravísimas, which translates to, what would bravísimas translate to? Like, the only word that I can think of, I don't know, you're going to edit this, but
no, I'm not. Right? I don't edit. Don't worry about it.
No. Well, like a, you know, like a badass woman, like a
strong
woman, you know, and that's how she saw these women, as women who just were able to take charge, and they tell dirty jokes out loud, and they're catcalling men, and they're just cussing in public, you know, drinking beer in public. And it's just so far removed from what her reality was, you know, and I haven't had the pleasure of going there. But she also talks about how it is not a matriarchy because, you know, men still have a say in things. So it's not like the women are completely in charge, but there are some, but it's a very different way of living than she's experienced.
She seeks out a lot of fiestas and rituals. Mm-hmm. And in the book, there's La Matanza ritual, mm-hmm. the death of thousands of goats, which to the person who's not used to things like that, both the photographs and the artwork that accompany it are startling and shocking. Talk to me about that. And Zeke, you want to talk to me about trying to draw that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we, you know, we're trying to find a fine line, you know, because this book is, although it's for every readers of all ages, you know, our primary, you know, audience or target audience would be young readers.
But I want to mention this is a great book for adults too.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. I mean, we definitely didn't, you know, I think that like a lot of the time, you know, the way people approach projects like this is that they feel the need to either dumb things down or,
yep,
you know, change things. And I think that something that Isabel specifically was very intentional about in leading us on this project was that that's not what she wanted to do, right? She wanted to include just the raw work as it is, as it stands, you know, and let young readers make decisions for themselves in terms of things like sexuality and gender, in Juchitán, the matanza, yep, roles, you know, for women and femme people. So I think that, you know, there's, you know, I think that there's a lot of, I guess, there's, you know, in working on the matanza scene specifically, we just didn't pull punches, you know.
Yeah.
These are her photographs. This is how she wants to portray this. This is how she saw it, you know. Because I think there's also something to point out, whereas she's a lot of the times a visitor to these places, you know. She's also an outsider to some of these places that she's going to. So she's, you know, seeing them in a particular way that would be distinct from the people who are from those places. But, you know, our book's intention is to tell how Graciela saw them. So, you know, it was kind of easy, to be honest. You know, I used her photographs and let those lead the visual narrative. I filled in a couple of holes just to kind of make the sequential storytelling device that we were using work. And yeah.
I want to talk, we're going to run out of time before we're done finishing talking about this, but I want to talk about birds in her work and birds for her personally and birds in your book. Birds are essentially like her totem. It's a very personal metaphor. What were birds to her?
Well, I think birds to her are this freedom, right? And it's also a turning point. Like, you know, I write in the book, there is a turning point where she is, literally, she's taking a photograph at a cemetery, and it's these birds, these, you know, have come down and they're eating, these vultures are eating a corpse
yeah.
that has you know, not been interred properly or has been taken out or whatever, and they're eating this body in front of her. Up to that point, she's been photographing death and dead children specifically, and or especially, and she feels like it's a sign because she believes in signs, and so she feels that it's a sign that it's death telling her, you can't take photographs of me anymore. You know, wow. This is it. And so she then starts taking photographs of birds. At that point, she switches her focus, right? To instead of looking down, she starts looking up. And that's where you see birds everywhere. And we did, it was intentional. There was going to be talking birds in the book. But Zeke informed me the difficulties of having to draw birds with personalities over and over and different birds. And
well, also, for Zeke's benefit, I mean, that would start to slip into Disney kind of a thing.
Yeah. And, you know, as a writer who had not worked on a project like this before, or with an illustrator so closely like this, there was a lot of me, there was a lot to learn about what makes a book and, you know, what makes a good graphic novel a good graphic novel,
yep.
Right? And what my imagination, not taming my imagination, but what is going to work. You know, one of the things that Zeke always says is, to me is like, is it serving the story? Is it serving the memory? And I use it to think about, you know, is it serving, what purpose is this serving to tell the story? So that's yep. what I think about all the time. And so that's one of the things I've learned from him. And I think, you know, those having those birds, those illustrations was one of those things that wasn't serving the story.
We're completely out of time, yeah. Unfortunately,
oh, sorry.
Both of you. Yeah. And I sincerely mean we could have talked about, there's a lot of left in this book that we didn't talk about, including Frida Kahlo's sealed off bathroom, which I found chilling. This book has just blew my socks off. It's a wonderful book. My guest tonight has been Isabel Quintero. She's a writer, and she resides in the Inland Empire of California, as it says in the book. And Zeke Pena, cartoonist, illustrator, and painter. We're going to have both of them back separately to talk about their work. But together, they have produced one of the great artists, contemporary artist biographies, Photographic, The Life of Graciela Iturbide. Isabel and Zeke, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Mark.
You listen to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.